Blog Talk
Radio. Words to remind you of it, a beautiful life.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kate Hennessy, and you are listening to Get Focused Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us inspire you and help you refocus when life gets in the way. Those beautiful voices are the duet Beckon, and you can read all about them on my website at www.getfocusedradio.com. Now, each week on Get Focused Radio, I'll try and bring you guests that have overcome some challenges or guests who will inspire you and guests who have tools and techniques that can help you create a more fulfilled and happy life. Connect with me after the show at AskKateHennessy@GetFocusedRadio.com. I'd love to speak with you. We've got a really special show for you today. Our first guest is Sally Felton, who has been featured on NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News affiliates across the country. She's a radio talk show host, life coach, hypnotherapist, author, facilitator, and inspirational speaker. Sally hosts a popular radio show, A Fresh Start with Sally Felton, and she is a co-author of several books. Her newest bestseller is If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter? And that's what we'll be talking about with Sally in just a few minutes. Later on in the show, we'll be speaking with Miss Stephanie Herrera, who is the brilliant mastermind behind Durham's first improv black box theater. So stay tuned with us for that. It's coming up at the end of the first hour. Welcome, Sally.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be here.
Well, this is really exciting. You know, you and I were talking just briefly before the show, and I told you I'm still on cottage country time. I've just returned from four fabulous days away in beautiful Honey Harbor, and, you know, you just come back to just super disorganized. I don't know where anything is on my desk. But I did get a chance to kind of go through your book. And this isn't your typical book. This is really a step-by-step declutter your life book.
It is. And I'll tell you the reason I wrote it. As a radio host, you know, you get call-ins and you have people that will say, especially that around New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. they would say, oh, Sally, I really want to get organized, or I really want to start this new business, or I want to declutter, but I don't have a clue how to do it, so I don't do it because it's so overwhelming.
Right.
Well, it was about 6 years of hearing this around New Year's, and I don't know what made me say it, but I said, that's it. I'm done. Over. Finished. I am going to show you how to do this.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I am going to be accountable to all of my listeners. And in order to do that, I am going to write down everything I want to accomplish this year. Everything.
And now, do you consider yourself, I mean, what's your background here? Are you very organized? Are you one of those people that everything's labeled and it's everything's perfectly?
No, that would be my sister.
Okay.
That would be my sister. She has her Tupperware lids and containers numbered. So you never have to scramble in the drawer looking for something. Yeah. Number 12 goes with number 12.
Yeah.
And all of her CDs are in alphabetical order.
Oh.
And we love to tease her about this. No, I am not. We call her anal. I am not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not like that either. And I'll tell you a funny, quick story. Many years ago when my son was a little boy, probably 12, I remember he went over to his best friend's house and he came back and he kind of looked around, I think, at our rather, never dirty, but very messy. I mean, I always had things kind of all over the place. I was always
mm-hmm.
very disorganized. Still not the best at it, but getting better. But I remember he went over and he opened up the freezer, and he kind of looked at all the disarray of things in it, and he closed the freezer door, and he said, I was just over at Mrs. Campbell's house. Everything's perfect. And he said, you know what, Mom? She even has her bird food in freezer bags labeled in the freezer. And I felt awful. I did. Bird for the birds. I just felt like such a failure, and I still do not to this day do the labeling of the bird food in the freezer. But, you know.
No, mine's in the container marked bird seed. No, but
I'm never going
to
live up to Mrs. Campbell, I'm telling
no,
you.
No, and I won't with my sister. No, I won't. But I know where everything is. And I have to tell you, the way the book is written, it's my personal journey. And it's also journeys of my clients.
Okay.
Their stories that they have shared. They have shared their struggles and their wins. But what I did was I made that list. And I said, okay, I'm going to show you how to attack your environment, where you live. And this is what I'm going to do. And the first step was I wrote down every room in the house, attic, basement, bedrooms, bathrooms, even the garage and the tool shed or the potting shed, whatever. Then I arranged it by season.
Okay.
For example, I am not going to go up in the attic and work in February. My garage isn't heated.
Okay.
Nor am I going to do it in August or September or July when it's 110 up there.
Yeah.
So pick what you want to do during which season. And I just had somebody from Japan email me yesterday, and he said, what do I do because we have monsoons? I can't just use cardboard boxes and leave them out for people to say free. Did I ever think of that? No.
No.
I never thought of that. But you certainly could use a clear plastic bag so they can see what it is and write free inside.
Right.
So
okay,
there are ways to do that.
In any country, anywhere.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But here's what I did. I would look at the room and say, what do I want this room to look like? Do I want to simplify it? Do I want to redo it? What do I want to do with this room? Do I want to repurpose it? Then I would look at bureau, bookcase, the closet, anything that held articles, and I would say, okay, on this day, I'm going to work on the bureau. The
okay.
next day, I'm going to work on the bookcase. So I'm not saying, okay, one weekend I am spending my entire weekend indoors and I'm ripping apart this room. Who wants to do that? Nobody.
Right, and that's when it becomes overwhelming, right? Like, we've all
yeah.
done that. We've all
exactly.
said, okay, I'm going to do the kitchen today, and then you take everything out, and everything is a mess, and you literally stand in the middle of a big mess and go,
right.
oh, this is overwhelming.
Right. The whole purpose of the book is success.
Right.
That's what we're building on, success. So if you need a timer, you use a timer.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to listen to your favorite CDs, listen to your favorite CDs. But the whole crux of the matter is to make SMART goals. And it's an acronym, Kate.
Okay.
S is simple and specific.
Got it.
Make them simple, specific. M is measurable. Make each thing you do measurable. Don't go overboard. A is attainable. For example, if you say, I need to clean out my mother's house before it goes on the market next spring, and I have a client doing this, I know that I can do this and have it on the market next spring, but I need to be responsible and accountable and start where I stand to clean things out, which means I need a game plan. I need a game plan so I can commit, and this is where the R comes in, realistic. I can realistically commit to working over there for 2 hours, three times a week, realistically, to get this done.
Right. So you're going to chunk out the time
out the time.
Okay.
Just as you make your doctor's appointment a necessity and a priority, you have to make your time just as much.
Okay. So now, do clients call you with a specific organizational task that they have to do? And do you give them the, you know, this realistic time frame, you know, this is how you're going to do it, kind of set up a clutter? And now we're talking about, you know, not life clutter, but we're talking about actual clutter. We're talking about homes or offices and whatnot. Is this what they do? They call you and say, okay, Sally, I've got this to do. How do I do it?
Yeah, they do. Or actually, they send me a picture.
Okay.
And they say, now you can see why I'm overwhelmed at the basement. I can't even open the door.
Mm, okay. Right.
So what we do is we start out and make a game plan. First off, I want to know how motivated you are. If you're not motivated to get this done, it's not happening, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
You can wish it all you want.
Right.
But if you're not willing to open the door and take the first box that's at your feet and complete sorting, dispensing, removing, donating, tossing, whatever it is, from within that box, it's not going to happen.
Right.
You have to start where you stand. Don't look at the entire room. Don't look at your desk that has 3 feet of paper to be filed. Don't look at all that. You're going to look at 6 inches and work with that.
Okay. Now, I know that we've all, I'm sure many of the listeners have tuned into that show that I find really overwhelming. You know the buried a lot, or, you know, the hoarding shows that they have?
Hoarders.
Oh. And I find those shows are just so overwhelming to watch. They make me sad. I do know that after I've watched a hoarder show, I can open up my daughter's bedroom and go, you know, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
Because it really isn't so bad. But I think that that's a whole other, that clutter has a lot to do with a person's emotional baggage too, right?
Totally.
Yeah. And have you ever had someone send you something that you looked at and went, I don't even know if I can handle this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've had two clients like that. One that she called and she whispered into the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't want the people next door in her condo to know that she was making a call. When I walked over there to her to her particular apartment, she kept the TV very loud because she didn't want her neighbors to hear what was being discussed. But I literally squoze my body between 9 inches of her doorway.
Yeah.
And she made a path from her bedroom through the living room to the kitchen, not for herself, but for her cat.
Oh, it just makes me feel so sad.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Were you able to help her?
I could give her the tools,
mm-hmm.
but when you are looking at over 3 feet on the floor, and now the wall is being tacked up with CBS bags,
mm-hmm.
And the food is in her bureau, and her crafts are in her oven, and she doesn't have any hot water because she'd have to have somebody come in to fix the water pipes.
Yeah.
She doesn't want anybody in there to report her to the health board,
right,
or the fire department.
Right.
It's sad, and I said I would be willing to help her if she got, number one, professional help,
mm-hmm.
and went to a particular treatment center that deals with hoarders.
Right. Okay. So that's the extreme, and I think for most of us, You know, life gets very busy. You know, I
right.
know
There's
when
a
I was
difference
a young mom.
Between hoarding and being messy.
Right, right. So, you know, as a young mom, you know, there's toys and there's this and there's that. And then, you know, your parents are coming for dinner and you run around and you make sure things are tidy. So, but I do know that for some people, myself also, I can keep everything very tidy, but sometimes my office can be terrible. And what happens for me, and I'll ask you if it happens for any of your clients, is if I walk in and it's overwhelmingly a mess, I cannot begin my day. I can't, I just can't focus. I need to do exactly what you said. I'll start with a pile. I'll get it done. But when everything's done and in its place, and then you can start answering your emails and whatnot, it's almost a catharsis, isn't it? It's
it
like,
is. You should have seen my office about a week ago. Mm. I had come back from a workshop, and it looked like a bomb had gone off in here because I'm slowly putting things back, refiling, putting products back on the shelf, and I just thought, this is unbelievable. I can't do this. So I said, note to self, what do you preach? Mm-hmm. Start just where you stand. So I looked down at my feet, and whatever was there, that's what I worked on.
Perfect.
So
yeah.
the crux of the matter is so many times we raise our heads, look around at the entire room, and say, oh, well, I can go over there and work over there. And then you do for maybe 10 minutes, and you get bored with that. So you rush to the other side of the room. Finish what you start with.
Mm-hmm.
One, it breeds success. You will feel good about yourself. You will know that you have accomplished something that was hard for you to do, which builds self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
motivates you to go and do the next thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell me about, you've had many successful clients. Tell me about them that you talk about in the book.
One is, well, there are three types of clutter. Let me start with that. There's mental.
Yeah.
There's physical.
Okay.
And there's emotional.
Mental, physical, and emotional. Okay.
Mental is the shoulda, woulda, couldas. It's that long list that I know you've got right now with all your emails.
Mm-hmm.
It's the list of, oh, my gosh, how am I going to get this done? It's the mental. You're thinking about what you should be doing, how you should be doing it, who you could be delegating it. You know, for your nice little four-day respite,
mm-hmm.
life is now back on the fast track.
Yeah,
that's
putting out little fires. Yeah.
Exactly. Physical clutter, we all know what that is. We all know. I mean, paper clutter is the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. So do a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit. But you have to schedule it in. At the end of the day, if my desk is not somewhat clean, I am just like you, Kate. I feel unproductive,
mm-hmm.
unmotivated, and uninspired the next morning when I come to the office.
Right. What's nice to know, though, Sally, about you is what you're telling us that, yes, you know the tools, you have the tools, and you can help us with the tools, but you sometimes get yourself in the same type of clutter that we all do, and
Absolutely.
You just have to kind of
We're
regroup.
Human.
Right? Yeah. And then
we're all
start
human.
Again. Yeah.
The mail continues to come in.
Yes.
The mail continues until the government decides it's not going to, or the Postal Service isn't going to pay for, you know, their bills anymore to
right.
the government. The mail
right.
is still going to arrive.
Right.
And,
we're overwrought now, too, with the, you know, especially in our business, we have, yes, physical, you know, the snail mail. But we also
yep.
have
digital.
Emails, hundreds
exactly.
and hundreds of emails.
Yeah.
And people get very upset when you haven't gotten right back to them, not realizing that you're slowly working your way up.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll eventually get there, but it might be a day or two.
Exactly. The best
and what
thing
about
that somebody
emotional
can do
clutter?
Well, let's talk 1 second about the digital clutter, the emails.
Okay, the email.
Delete or unsubscribe to all those you don't want. And I say this to people even on my radio show. If you don't want my email or my newsletters, please unsubscribe. You're not hurting my feelings. You are totally not hurting my feelings. I know what it's like to have 500 emails a day.
Yeah.
Unsubscribe.
Right.
Do not take it personally.
Okay.
Do not. Then you, second step, you respond to those emails that, one, you need to put fires out, or two, you can delegate to somebody else.
Yeah.
Take 15 minutes in your day, three times a day. Never, ever open your emails first thing in the morning. Because you sucked in.
Yeah, you'll be there forever. Yeah.
You will.
Yeah.
So I have a client who, what he does is 15 minutes, three times a day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Emotional clutter is that stems from the heart. It's those issues that are unresolved. For me, a piece of emotional clutter that I do write in the book is I had a very dear childhood friend, very dear. we've been together over 55 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years ago, she said, I don't wish to be friends with you anymore. And I thought, what did I do? And she said, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. And I thought, how do you even work with a comment like that?
Mm-hmm.
You get nothing. I mean, I don't know. Why would I be asking if I knew what I did? So I said, okay, I have a choice either. I could either let it eat me up, or I could try to investigate a bit more as to what I had done.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose to write her. And in that letter, I told her how much her friendship meant to me. The reply I got back was, I wish to have a cordial relationship, and that is it. So then, I wasn't satisfied with that, so I called her up, thinking, last chance. And again, she wrote or said to me, what you did, I cannot forgive. And I said, what did I do? She said, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, my.
So I realized right then and there that I wasn't going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And I could either, as I said, let that comment of emotional clutter control me, make me sad, or I could choose to say, I did everything I could. I wrote her, I Facebooked her, I called her, I made every effort.
Yeah.
And it was not well received. Now, what was I going to do? I had to literally let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But did
I feel... Have you been able to do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
There were days where I would see her, I would burst into tears.
Sure.
I felt friendless. I felt as if I felt shameful. I didn't know what I'd done. I felt not worthy at all to be a friend. I was asking, what is a friend? I felt, I just felt awful about myself. And yet, to this day, Kate, I don't have a clue what I had done. And as somebody said to me about a year ago, They said, you know, Sally, this may not have anything to do with you, mm-hmm. but you are the safe fall guy, which could be true.
Yeah. Perhaps I think we've all been there at some point where you're not quite sure what you've done.
I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
But will I be cordial when I see her? Absolutely.
Of course. Yeah.
Absolutely. I will respect her wishes. I will not bid her ill mm-hmm. at all. I won't.
Well,
I just won't.
Yeah, that type of clutter is, I think, probably the hardest one because that's the one that people can't really see. Like, we can walk into our office and it's all nice and tidy, so you can see that. That's
mm-hmm.
been resolved, that's there. So the other things that are inside, you know, your emotional clutter, as you say, are something that is a very personal thing and you have to deal with that. And only you know when that's all cleared up, that you feel... You know, that, yes, your inside looks as good as your desk right now because you've let it go and, you know, you're feeling much better. And I loved what you said about delegating because I think that women have a much harder time delegating.
Yeah,
right.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
As moms, how many moms will whine and bitch and moan about the mess here and the mess there instead of saying, you know what? There's, you know, three of us that live in this house or four of us or whatever. If we all pitch in, we all do something, then everything stays tidy and it's so much easier. But most women I know will not do that because the bathroom won't be as clean as we can do it
mm-hmm.
if we let the 13-year-old do it. The,
mm-hmm.
you know, the carpet isn't vacuumed as well as we do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
those are the things that women, you know, really you need to try right from the get-go. From the moment the firstborn is born, you need to relinquish your power and say, yes, the baby may not be quite as clean as I want her to be, but here, dear, you bathe her. You know,
I do. I have a whole part of that in my book where I say that it is so easy for all of us to do it ourselves because we want it done our way,
mm-hmm.
but it's easier to do it ourselves because we don't want to deal with the complaining of the child. Oh, do I have to do that? You're such a witch.
Yeah.
You want me to do this when, I mean, I can't go out to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easier just to let that dialogue not even happen, and we do it ourselves.
Of course.
But you know what? We become resentful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing our kids any favors at all by not allowing them to pitch in.
Mm-hmm.
They are part of the family. They are part of the community. And as my kids have seen, there were so many of their friends that went off to college, didn't have a clue how to do their laundry.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a time, Kate, where I would do the laundry, and I would put it on the kids' beds, fold it, put it on the kids' beds, and it would never go in the drawers.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally said, you know what? I'm done with doing their laundry. And I remember the youngest was age 10. So Sarah must have been 12. Corey was 14. And I just laid down a declaration that if they wanted to do their laundry, they had to figure it out. I have not to this day done their laundry since. And they're in their 30s.
Yeah.
And that was a wake-up call, but you know
but
what?
But you have to start them relatively young. And you really do, because I know, I didn't do so well on the first. We have six children, so the oldest ones are okay.
Mm-hmm.
the younger ones, you know, getting better. But yes, I don't hear the whining anymore because you just get to a point where you say, you know what? I want to have a life too, and I don't
That's
want
right.
to spend, and I hope all the parents that are listening to this, I do not want nor will I choose to spend a whole weekend after I've worked all week. I'm not spending the whole weekend in this house cleaning when children are old enough to just a job a day would
mm-hmm.
help, right? You know, just a job
a
day.
And a job could be cleaning out the cat litter, feeding
yeah.
the dog,
mm-hmm.
putting away the toys, picking up the backpacks. Make the jobs age appropriate. Let
Absolutely.
Them set the table. If they put the forks on the opposite side or upside down, does that ruin a meal? No. Do you need to criticize the child? No. The child will learn. But don't criticize them for trying.
For trying, yeah.
Let it go.
So,
let it go.
Yeah. Delegate and let some things go. I do know that one thing that used to make me crazy was my daughter's bedroom. And it was, you know, I'd walk in and it was just a constant mess. And it just drove me crazy. And I was complaining about this once to my mother. And my mother said, really? She said, well, you have a very short memory. She said, you and your sister, my sister and I always shared a room. And she said,
mm-hmm.
your room was disgusting, absolutely awful. And she said, it affected me so much that I even told our family doctor, Dr. Akins, she said one day, I can't stand it. Kathleen's room is such a mess all the time. What should I do? And he said, well, I can tell you what to do and you're going to feel so much better. She said, what? He said, close the door.
That's what I did.
Close the door.
Close
if
the door.
If she chooses to live like that, close the door. And you won't
And I can
it.
Hear parents saying, but I can't because it's dusty in there and
mm-hmm.
it's they're going to get germs and it's just revolting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I'm here to tell you that I overheard my eldest son say one day as he was walking into his room, kicking the things to the left and right, I can't stand this room anymore. It's disgusting. I have to clean it up.
Yeah.
They
exactly.
will get to the point.
It will happen. It will happen. And then hopefully at 18 they leave anyway and
yeah.
and they'll figure it out. Now, one thing I did get, a great tip, was that, and you've got this in the book too, when you start kind of at a focal point. And I love this. I do this all the time because I was one of those people that would go, you know, I'd start in one area and then I'd be carrying something out, say out of the office. I needed to go into the kitchen. Now I'm in the kitchen and I'd start to do something in the kitchen and think, oh, I was working downstairs. Hold
mm-hmm.
on. So I found that to find your 12 o'clock in a room, and you
yep.
start at 12, and you
mm-hmm.
cannot go to 11. You must go around. So you start at
mm-hmm.
12, and then you go to 1. And when 1 is done, then you go to 2. And
mm-hmm.
no matter how much you want to hop over to 9, you can't. You got to keep working your way all around.
Right.
That seems to be that's a great tool for me.
Yeah.
That really
yeah.
works for me. Now I find it fascinating that, and I didn't realize this, I saw on your website that you're trained in hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that maybe would help someone if they are really having a problem getting organized?
For some people, they hear hypnotherapy and they think they're going to be turned into a chicken. For others, they're much more open.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I use more visualization and deep imagery, which is a form of hypnotherapy.
Okay.
So when I ask them, and we do a step-by-step into focusing on this deep imagery, and they're quieting and their subconscious is coming through, they know exactly what they want. But it's how to get there that they struggle with.
Okay.
And when they find that they can't move forward, that something's coming up for them, and they can't get rid of the sheets that were in the linen closet that belonged to their mother who passed 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a stumbling block. I won't say, well, why couldn't you get rid of that? I will say, what got in the way? So there's compassion here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no criticism. What got in the way of you not being able to do that? What came up for you? And they're always able to break through.
To break through it. And that's, so you offer that. That's one of the things that you offer through your website,
mm-hmm,
and through your,
mm-hmm,
your coaching, because you're also a life coach.
Yep.
Yeah. And
yep.
When did you start that?
I started that, I want to say over 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And I deal with people that, relationship issues, organization, clutter, personal development, life transitions.
Okay.
Those are my favorites.
Okay.
Somebody asked me, why don't you have a specific niche?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a niche. I it's like soup. I like to put in all sorts of spices.
So,
I love
but
see it simmer.
But you've been doing this for such a long time. Because,
yeah.
And this is why you started the organization part of it, because this,
yeah,
is what you're doing. You're doing life coaching and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now, I'm very interested, and I don't have a lot of time left for you. I want to get into all of this. I'm very interested in, you also have another radio show that you run with you and your husband. And
yeah.
Again, another, we can't peg you into any niche because, you know, you're an expert on organization and clutter, which you definitely are, and this book just proves that. We're going to tell people where they can get it shortly. Really and truly, the book is a really great step-by-step. If anyone has ever gone and looked at other organizational books or tried to find something, this is such an easy-to-understand and comprehensible, real, like a, almost a workshop in this book. And it's, as I say, very easy to understand, and it really will help you do step-by-step declutter everything, and I mean everything. And when we talked about it, we talked about the emotional, physical, all of that. This book will certainly help get you through that. The hypnotherapy, too. You and your husband have this radio show, and it is a really insightful show. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's called Light at the End of the Tunnel, and it has to do with somebody that is dealing with depression, which,
mm-hmm,
is my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He's had it for 38 years, all the years we've been married. I didn't see any of this 4 years that we were dating. And then 2 months after we were married, he was hit with this. And it deals with those that are supporting this person, be it family members, spouses, whatever, children.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very raw, an intimate conversation that Conway and I have with experts. And we get experts who deal with the neurological signs of depression, and we give tips and tools as to what we have done to help in building more self-confidence and self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important for the listeners to understand that we're not talking about, you know, today it's rainy and I can't get out to have a visit, so I'm feeling a bit down and depressed. Everybody at some point in their life feels a bit down and depressed. For people who suffer from this disease, and it is a disease, depression,
it
can literally overwhelm your life.
Mm-hmm.
It disables you. So,
as Conway says, depression is not for wimps.
No.
It's the hardest thing you can ever deal with.
And do you have people calling in to talk?
Normally we don't. My listeners, it's interesting, we may be doing this, but my listeners seem to be those that sit and have to think about this. But,
mm-hmm,
we do get a lot of emails about it.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I have not heard your show, that one, and I will definitely tune in. Can you let our listeners know, first of all, how they can tune into your radio show?
Sure. Okay. If they go onto my website, www.sallie Felton, LifeCoach.com,
mm-hmm.
I have all of my shows archived in there for the past 6.5 years. They can also hear live from my radio site as well as Contact Talk Radio. I'm on Wednesday afternoons at 3 Eastern Standard Time, 12 Pacific Time.
Okay. Okay. And how can we listen to the show with you and Conway?
It's on the third Wednesday. And again, if they go to my website, Radio Shows, and the button says from the radio show, Light at the End of the Tunnel or Depression, we have put all of those shows in that specific category so they can listen to those.
Okay, that's wonderful. Now, where are we going to get a copy of Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter?
It was number one on Amazon. You can get it there.
Mm-hmm.
It is also in an e-book for the whopping price of $2.99.
Perfect. Ooh,
exactly.
I can Kobo it.
Yeah, you can. Or you can get the hardcover on Amazon, too. But the it's got lots of worksheets in there that you can use. If anybody wants an autographed hard copy, they can email me, and I'd be happy to autograph it and ship it back to them for free.
Oh, that's so nice. And what's really interesting, I'm sure this will get people interested, on the front it says over $99.75 in free gifts.
That's right.
Tell us what's in the book.
There are, as I say, all sorts of worksheets.
Yeah.
There's, if I'm going to the market, what do I need? It has a whole sheet of that. It's got holidays are coming, how do I get organized? It has, you know, charts, when did I buy it, where did I buy it, where did I put the receipt, all of that. Also, the bonuses that you will get, you will get workshops that have been taped that I have done that the publisher will be sending you. So there are all sorts of other bonuses that you will get by purchasing this.
Beautiful. Sallie, I want to thank you so much. I feel like I'm ready to get decluttered today. I'm sure many do. And you've just been a pleasure, and I hope that you and I can talk again soon. And thanks so much for being on the show.
Kate, my pleasure. And you do such a great job.
Thank you, Sallie. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Best to your listeners.
Bye-bye. Well, everyone, I'm telling you, get that book. She's going to help you declutter. It's awesome. Now I'm going to talk about our next special guest is Stephanie Herrera. And I don't know if I say that right, so she's going to correct me, I'm sure. She's a little ball of fire. And she's been the Improv and Interaction Director at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, a main stage cast member of Theatre Sports Toronto, and a performer in Second City's Tony and Tina's Wedding. She created the first ever improv school in Durham Region, as well as improv courses at both Fleming and Durham Colleges. She runs workshops for youth and adults and specializes in corporate workshops and entertainment. Stephanie writes, directs, and produces a string of highly successful interactive dinner theater shows that tour across Durham Region. She was a co-host on the local TV shows Daytime and Hurry Up Love, and now she has her own talk show called Stephanie's Comedy Chat that airs nightly on Rogers TV. She is a Thea Award winner for Best Leading Actress in a Musical. She is an Ontario Arts Council grant recipient. She has been nominated for a Canadian Comedy Award, a Latin American Achievement Award, Community Living's Mrs. Comedy Auction, as well as a Durham Art of Transition Creative Award for Best Entertainment. This summer, Stephanie won the Business of the Year Award from the Jerome Home and Small Business Association and the Business for the Arts Award from the Scugog Arts Council, and recently opened Jerome Region's first Black Box Theater. But even more spectacular, Stephanie is also the mother of four kids under the age of 7, which I find absolutely amazing. I think of all the awards, Stephanie, you need an award for that one.
I definitely need a medal for that one, don't I?
You do. A valor. Hello. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
You know, I just love Stephanie. I've seen her. I went to the grand opening of the Black Box Theater, and it was so much fun. And let me tell you, like, the talent there was just bouncing off the walls. Literally, they were bouncing off the walls.
Yes.
But what great, like, your whole team members there. I got to meet the very famous Darren Pyle. That was just,
yes,
like, the highlight of my night, I'm telling you. Other than meeting you.
Yes, there you go. Well, you know me already, so there you go.
I know you. I do. So tell us, I know we only have about, 15 minutes. I want to get as much as we can.
Sure.
This was your dream, to open up this theater.
Absolutely. It's, as you said, it's the first one of its kind. So a lot of times people say a black box, what? I don't understand. So basically the concept is it's like a blank canvas, and anything can go into the space. Everything is black. The walls, the chairs, the stage, the curtains, the seat, like everything is pitch black. And therefore anything can go into the space. We have a 12-foot screen and projector, so people can use it for presentations, performances, rehearsals. I actually have somebody who does fitness classes out of the space. We just move all the chairs aside, and she just uses the open space. So it can probably hold about 100 people open space, or you can seat about 75 people. And it's just it's a room with possibilities. That's really what it is. But it has all the professional lighting and sound equipment that any stage, any theater would have.
Oh, it's beautiful. It really is. It's awesome. And you are really, you're very family friendly there too, right? Because I know every Saturday night you've got your family friendly improv show.
Yes. That's at 7 o'clock, and what I've really done is that we've always been very conscious. I've performed with many troops, and there's a phenomenal troupe, a couple troops out in Peterborough, and when I go with that, they're very filthy. It's just such a filthy show that I need a shower after. It's such a dirty show, and when they come up and play with us, they comment, oh, my God, you guys are so clean, and I said, well, we have to, because a lot of people, I do have classes for youth, so they like to come out and see the show, their families like to come, or people call and say, can I bring my kids or my nephews and nieces? I said, absolutely. So we try to keep it clean because we don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
And if there's kids in the audience, we definitely zip it up and make sure it's just innuendos. That's all we got. So it's over their heads. But I've been holding my performers back. So what we've decided is this coming Saturday, we're doing our 7 o'clock family show. It's $10 for adults, $8 for students. And then we're going to have a brief intermission. And at 8 o'clock, it turns into the uncensored show. And I will let my performers do and say whatever they want. It's adults only. So people with children can leave or they can stick around. It's free for the people who pay for the 7 o'clock, or if people want to come for an 8 o'clock, it's, again, still $10 to get in. But, yeah, it's no holds barred.
Perfect. Now, tell everybody where it is.
It is at 1115 Wentworth Street West. It's just west of Stevenson in Oshawa. It's in an industrial place. The only problem with the place that I can, the only one pet peeve is we're on the second floor, so there are stairs, so we're not wheelchair accessible. But there's tons of parking, and we've got a map right at durhamimprov.com. I've got a map, Google map, right up on the website. So if people are wanting to know, if they're from out of town and they need to get to there, it's right there on the website.
Oh, and you can just park your wheelchair and Darren would run down and pick someone
right
up, right, and carry them up
the
stairs.
Just like a superhero that he is.
No problem. I know he'd do that. So don't feel that you can't go if you happen to be in that situation. I do want to let people know what's coming up for you, because you're just involved in so much stuff. I want to know, are you still doing the wedding shows? I love those.
We are. Yes, we are. We are going to do one more wedding show for September. So it's the Gina and Joey's Mafia Wedding, which is a big because the audience is part of the show. So that's September 21st, which is a Friday night. That's up in Port Perry at the Jester's Court. What's fabulous about the show is it is original. It's very similar in the sense of the Gina and the Tony and Tina's wedding that happened at Second City. I was actually in that show, and this came about because that show canceled in 2005, and I was devastated. I was still driving driving down from Lake Scugog into Toronto to do that show. I absolutely loved it, and then they canceled it. So I always had it in the back of my mind, and now I'm at the point, and you've seen them too, a cast that's unbelievable. So I said, you guys, we need to start doing dinner theater. So I wrote this original play, but it's mostly improvised. We are interacting with the people. You're scooped up as a guest of the or family member of the bride and groom, and so you're part of the show, and then we just go crazy, do tons of stuff. Now, mine's a mafia wedding, Gene and Joey's mafia wedding, so we definitely have some hitmen and stuff in the show. And it's a phenomenal buffet dinner, and it's tons of fun. So that'll
be hilarious.
Yes, and then we're also remounting our very successful Christmas show starting November 21st back at the Jester's Court, and that's a show called Scrooged Again. Again, it's all interactive, but we have Scrooge and Marley, like some iconic favorites of the Christmas Carol, but now this takes place after A Christmas Carol. Scrooge is too generous, and the characters and the audience, we're all employees of Scrooge, and we're going to stage an intervention to turn him back into Scrooge because we're concerned about our benefit packages.
That sounds hilarious. I'm absolutely going to come out and see that. Now, I do want to, apparently, I guess you now have two websites, because I don't know that anyone knows that, I run the local newspaper, and we featured you last month in the paper, and we, being the amazing editor that I am, totally screwed up your website.
Yes.
And so Stephanie had to run out. And, yeah, Stephanie had to go and purchase another website. So just tell everybody these websites that they can go to get information.
Absolutely. Well, you can go to durhamimprov.com or durhamimprove.com at this point. So that's D-U-R-H-A-M-I-M-P-R-O-V, or with an E at the end. Doesn't matter. It will come directly to us. And if people, right at the top of our website, we have a join the newsletter. I promise my vow to people is to be extremely entertaining every time. So it's not your typical reading newsletter. I do a comic video every month. It's got a lot of information about the workshops that we do, the shows that we do, as well as a coupon at the bottom every month for some kind of discount or promotion.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, are you still running your camps for kids there?
We will be starting again. Actually, we are introducing a March break camp this year, as well as somebody suggested last year if we could do PD day camps, which I thought was absolutely brilliant, because there is those once a month during school, parents are stuck with their kids for one day a month, and they have no idea what to do with them. So we are going to start our PD camps. I went on to, so we follow the Durham Region Board of Education, so we are following their PD day, so we will be available for people to drop off their kids for those single days each month and keep them busy and right at the theater. Yeah.
And you've also started a movie club.
Yes, we have. This is so exciting. Now, we have this 12-foot screen, a projector, and surround sound system in this theater, and my buddy Jim, who actually found the space for me, said, we got to use this. We got to do some movies. So we decided what to do is, instead of charge per movie and deal with royalties, what we've decided is, and we want to talk about them. We want to share this experience with people. So we decided to make a movie club. So you're actually paying to be a member. So it's $10, and with the $10, you get 4 free movies, and there's a brief discussion at the beginning, sort of an introduction of why we're watching a certain movie, and then we discuss after. So it's an opportunity to stick around with some like-minded people, eat tons of popcorn and chocolate bars, and watch a movie in a great environment with like a fraction of the cost of a regular one. And we're pretty much right behind. I mean, we're going to be doing The Hunger Games this month, discussing book versus movie. We're doing Avatar tomorrow night. So if anyone hasn't, I haven't seen Avatar, so I'm very excited.
Yeah,
so I get to,
and it's a huge screen. Like this is the real deal
here.
I saw it
the
other day when we were there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've also got, now, I know that my husband and I, we had so much fun. We got to participate, and I felt as though I'd been to a therapy group, actually, which is not really your intent, but you do these 6, what's it called again?
6 degrees of connection. My buddy Jim, who I mentioned, who had found me the space, he and I, he's a very successful man. He's one of these, he's such a business guy, he doesn't have to work anymore. He's really has groundbreaking stuff, built businesses, had a great time. So now he's just in this mode, how can I help people? So we came up with this concept, knowing that the sort of based on that theory, 6 degrees of separation. If we are connected to everybody on the planet in 6 degrees or less, therefore, we are 6 degrees away from everything we want out of life. You just need to know what's the next connection. So the 6 degrees of connection was formed. Basically, it's not a networking group. It's people coming in, and it's either people that have tons of time and money on their hands or tons of ideas and no time or just some some dreams. And what we do is we really just go around the circle, find out what people are looking for or have to offer, and we connect them. And that's basically it. So it's tons of fun. But it does sometimes, a lot of people, sometimes they are in their own way. So that kind of felt like a therapy group last time, because we were definitely trying to help somebody.
It's fascinating, though. It's a lot of fun. And I know that, you kind of have the group here and there. We're not really sure sometimes when it's going to be. So I'm quite sure if people email you, then you'll get back to them and say it'll be on this date for this month.
Exactly. We typically are the last Wednesday of every month back at my theater. That one we completely left it because we were so busy getting the theater together, we forgot to promote it. So we said, okay, let's give us a week. So that's why we were at the beginning of the month. But we will be back there the end of this month. And that's a 7 o'clock start as well.
Okay. And because you are, you have nothing else to do, so now you have Stephanie's Comedy Chat. When is that on?
That is on every night. I believe it's Monday to Saturday. It's 11:30 at night on Rogers, so I think it's 10 down in the Oshawa area, Channel 10. It is very risque. It is, again, uncensored with myself and comedians and funny people, and it's heavily improvised. I give them topics right there on the spot. I don't get them ahead of time, and then we riff on certain topics, whether it's political, scientific, just things in the news, entertainment. We just riff on these things. I interview a bit of a celeb from the Durham, or actually even Toronto. I brought some friends from Toronto, well-known people, and then we do an improv set based on that show. So we round it off with a nice little improv set at the end. So it's very entertaining, but yes, caution, they put a warning, a disclaimer right at the beginning of our show.
Oh, it sounds like fun. I have to tune into that. I don't know how you, I honestly, Stephanie, you are a ball of fire. I don't know how you do all that you do.
Husband. My husband doesn't sleep.
You have an amazing husband. I'm just going to say again, get in touch with Stephanie at durhamimprov@gmail.com. That's durhamimprov. You can throw an E in there because I did. And she has both of these websites now, but I know that she'll get back to you. Some of the most talented people I've ever met, and I've met some pretty awesome people. Stephanie, you and your crew are hilarious and so much fun. And so, you know what's really nice about all of you? You're very, very hands-on and very approachable.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I think that, if anyone wants to go and, start to maybe learn and perform improv, you won't feel intimidated. You won't feel funny. You just will get a lot funnier.
Absolutely.
And, contact Stephanie and her gang, because I know that you're teaching this, right, for people who want
to
learn.
Absolutely. We've got beginners, advanced classes, and we also teach kids. So we've got for everybody.
That's wonderful. That's super. Well, honey, thank you so much for coming on. Is there maybe a phone number you have out there that you give out?
Sure. Yeah, people can also reach me on my cell, 647-899-3342. And we are also just putting together a big improv competition for September 22nd. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We might get some pretty big celebs that you've seen on television for the improv. So definitely check out the website. Keep your eyes on the website and get on our emailing list. We're going to be bringing in some big names from Toronto to come.
Are you going
to
bring them right into the theater?
Yeah, we're going to be performing improv, so yeah.
Oh,
it'll be definitely a sold-out show.
That will be exciting. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for that, and I'll know about it. And if you want more information about what Stephanie's cooking up, just contact me, Kate Hennessy, at www.getfocusedradio.com, and I'll be happy to pass on anything that you didn't pick up today. Make sure that you come out and meet up with Steph and her crew. Thank you so much. I know that you took a time out of your busy day to chat with us. And thanks.
Sure.
Stephanie.
I put the kids in front of the TV and came out to my car. That's my trick.
She's a wonderful mother.
I can see it. It's not burning.
At least
I'm
you're in the car.
Fire.
The
I'm
kids
fine.
Aren't in the car.
No, I'm watching the house. I'm right here.
Okay. Thanks again, Steph. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kate.
Take care. Bye. Yeah, make sure to get out there. Say hello to Stephanie and the gang. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Next week, please tune in. Leslie Trail, founder of Sexy Over 60 and a pioneer in the field of life coaching and personal improvement. It's going to be hilarious, a lot of fun. So I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Get Focused Radio. On behalf of my guests, Sally Fountain and Stephanie Herrera, and myself, Kate Hennessy, I want to wish you an amazing day, and I hope that we will see you next week. Take care, everyone.